Gary Tennant still visits the cave on a frequent basis. As a co-discoverer, he's one of the few who can go in without the accompaniment of a professional tour guide. He waits until late in the day, after the last tour leaves, but before the cleaning crew arrives. That way he can go in and surround himself in the silence and the darkness, and remember what it was like when he and Randy Tufts first explored it.
As caves go, it's a modest-sized cave. It's not a giant cave. In addition to just linear distance, you look at view distance and volume, and Kirshner has a great amount of view distance on a number of rooms.
Sometimes he doesn't mind having a guest along on one of his trips into the underworld.
Let's go see the cave.
Tennant and I meet in the visitor center. The day's last tour will be coming out of the cave soon, and he's itching to get underground.
4 hours since I've been underground, and I gotta get underground.
Cool, let's get underground.
You are looking a little shaky there, you know.
Give me my darkness fix. I need it. I need dark.
Have fun, guys.
Can you go ahead and give me your name and microphone?
Joining us on our trip today is park manager
Christopher DeMille.
We're headed toward a large steel door that's embedded in the hillside. This is the tourist-friendly entrance to the cave, and it spares modern visitors from shimmying through blowholes and slogging through mud. That's how Gary Tennant first visited. But today, we'll walk through a series of airlocks and stay on a comfortable paved walkway.
To keep a secret, there's a old fire.
The day's last tour group is just emerging from the cave. They wipe away sweat and blink against the sunshine and suddenly realize the cave's discoverer is standing right there, waiting to go in.
So how was your trip, folks?
Yes. Hey.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're glad you found it. Yeah.
Thank you very much. That was quite an experience.
Thanks for coming out. Enjoy it?
Yes.
How did you keep that under your head?
Fear. Fear kept us from talking about
it. It's gorgeous.
Beautiful in there. Beautiful. It's a good thing you tripped and fell in that hole, huh?
Yeah, right. So where are you all from?
Colorado.
Okay. Texas right there.
Yes. Okay.
Later, Tennant tells me that here, he's sometimes treated like a rock star.
Gary, thank you very much. I think this was better than the movie. You got live and personal.
That's right.
Well, we'll get you back down in the museum.
We go through a series of heavy airlock doors.
There are a series here of three airlocks. What we have is a very, very damp, moist cave. That's what keeps it alive. That's what keeps the formations growing. And that's what allows the bats to come in and the environment. So we don't just have a geologic resource. We have a living environment.
What are we going here? Just got the town lights on for you.
We make our way down a long man-made tunnel and through another series of big airlock doors. The air is suddenly heavy, moist, pungent. In the cave, it's always 100% humidity.
So I push the green one?
Correct.
I've always wondered, what happens if I push the red one?
The red one's the self-destruct button.
Oh, okay.
You don't want to push.
Which one is the self-destruct?
That's the talent match on the...
We're in the rotunda room, and on a nearby rock wall, research is taking place. Kirshner Caverns is a living laboratory.
In that little pie pan, you put a measured amount of water, and literally you come back later and remeasure it and see how fast it's evaporated. What was really critical was to understand the evaporation rate in the cave, because you want to have more water coming in than leaving, otherwise eventually the cave dries out. We knew that development would cause some changes. It was inevitable, but we wanted to understand what threshold we couldn't cross before we endangered the cave.
Tennant says in the 70s, parts of the cave were underwater for several months of the year. That doesn't happen as much today.
And now we're in like the 12th year of a dry to drought period, and it's a huge difference.
So this cave is acting as a measurement of the drought almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
From somewhere deep in the cave, a distant dripping. And then...
That's the sound of the door.
Marie.
The cleaning crew here to wipe the handrails down. There's a slight lighting malfunction, and for the first time, we're plunged into complete darkness.
Dark. This is a technical cave term. It's called dark and spooky. So what happens when the lights go out?
Gary Tenen, ever the old caver.
Thanks, Marty.
The lights come back on, and we continue on our tour with Tenen as guide.
Down below, see the black crusty stuff in that formation? Mm-hmm. That's back guano. What's interesting is that back guano has been dated to 45 to 50,000 years old. So the bats no longer enter this part of the cave. So cave entrances.
And you can see the deposition of minerals here. But what's interesting is you see some broken stalactites that broke probably on their own through an earthquake or something. And they fell down and they're being recalcited in. They have a layer of calcite over them. All right, so you're looking at 20, 30,000 years of process there.
Our tour of Karchner Caverns ends in the throne room, standing before the 60-foot-tall formation known as Kublai Khan. And it's where Gary Tenen takes a few minutes to sum up what the cave means for him.
Discovering the cave was like having children. I didn't recognize it, that emotion at the time, but suddenly your life changes and you have responsibility and obligations. And that's really the way Randy and I took on this this discovery. As obligation and responsibility. We agonized over how to protect it, what its future was going to be, and what its life was going to be like after we were gone. And we worked very, very hard to find the right steward to ensure that it would be safe.
Inside the Karchner Caverns Visitor Center is a movie theater. The main feature has just begun.
Over time, groundwater dissolves the underlying limestone.
It's a 15-minute piece on the history of the cave. Gary Tenen and Randy Tufts are the stars of this film. But today, unbeknownst to the movie spectators, one of the stars has slipped into the theater and taken a seat by the door.
You gotta recognize what a value a park like this provides, more than just protecting the resource, just in terms of developing people's passion about Arizona. And about, what great things we have here. Because, there is a lot of expectation from the public's part that the park should make money. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes to protect a resource.
Gary Tenen is the best friend a cave could ever have, if a cave could have friends. But he's also modest, insisting that most of the credit for saving the cave should go to Randy Tufts. But the two-man mission to save Xanadu is now a one-man mission. Randy Tufts passed away in 2002.
The fact that, I get a part in it, I get bored with that part. It's nice to see my partner, Randy, once in a while.
As generations come and go, what will become of the cave? It's been there for tens of thousands of years, completely hidden from human view until just recently. But what about 10,000 years from now? Will the simple actions of two determined men hold up against the weight of water and time? At least for today, the water is still dripping in Xanadu. I'm Mark Dugan for Arizona Spotlight.